And Morning Wine Cellar Podcast audio also going good. I can be pleased with that. And I think we do need to get Phoenix Calitare lapel mic. Yeah, just I gotta figure out how those work. Like to get Phoenix Calitare lapel mic. I gotta get a battery for it, or like, can I get one that's corded? That would be fantastic. Tease Loco, what's going on there? Morning Wine Cellar, June 20th, 2018. And we have this just waking up in the morning, getting things going. This extinction level whack nigga, Obama social science and a little sex workers' rights. Because I had to find sex workers' rights. Folks know the way I get a lot of my news that I try to spread, because I think it matters, is through the news.google service. And I looked in there, and it's like, Jesus Christ, my sex workers' rights are missing, my environmental stuff is missing, like, what's happening? And they did the favor to me of creating folders for me. So apparently now I have a favorites folder, and that's where that stuff is. Oh, excuse me. And as it, personal journal update, being that it is, June 20th, the DVD Get on the Bus should be arriving in the mail from an Amazon order. Because, Jeff Bezos has monopolized. And, this Phoenix Calitare has never seen that film, Get on the Bus. I think that's some good 90s black stuff to be checking out. Alright, so I didn't want to talk more about this extinction level whack nigga rapper. The dude that, I mean, Jesus Christ, the stuff that is publicly available about this cat, like, I don't get into all that fucking we were young, we made mistakes shit. Nigga, I was young. Like, oh, that nigga wasn't always with his mother. Nigga, my biological mother started being in and out of the hospital quite regularly when I was 8 and died when I was 10, and then I was off into foster care. And I wasn't running around fucking kidnapping girlfriends and just, like, what, broke her eye socket? Like, what the fuck? Going to juvie and beating up cellmates because they're gay and wiping their blood on my face. The fuck? And then who knows how much shit that just isn't reported. Like, fuck that shit. My goodness. Yeah, I will not tip my hat to or fucking, it's not a word I typically use, defend. Well, not defend that fucking guy. And then also, he wasn't a goddamn rapper. Played his records on yesterday's full Wine Cellar episode in the afternoon. He was not a rapper. Alright, we gotta stop throwing that word around. It's kind of like when motherfuckers call a noted abuser Chris Brown a rapper. Like, that's goofy shit. No. Alright, but apparently there's this nigga on the Facebooks that I follow, and his name is Wilbert Cordell Kaiser Moore. I don't really know this cat. I don't know how I came to follow his content. Like, I don't know, but the fucker was in my newsfeed, and apparently I follow his shit. And this nigga, and this was posted yesterday, June 19th, 2018, at 2:08 p.m. I'm guessing they're making it 2:08 a.m. in accordance with my time zone. And this Wilbert Cordell Kaiser Moore, this nigga said, I'm not even trying to be shady, but I've deadass seen about 40 and counting posts from people saying, oh, extinction level cord is dead. Oh, well, what y'all cooking for dinner? So he doesn't like that niggas ain't angry, that people are expressing that they're not, illing over it, you know, bugging out, very sad, very displeased. And it's like, well, so the fuck what? And also, 40? Really? 40, nigga? Exactly how much time do you have to scroll? that not only are you seeing other shit that you see, but you saw 40 and counting. You sure about that? You just threw that number out there? This nigga's goofy, man. Alright, so he continues with this brilliant post. Wilbert Cordell Kaiser Moore, I guess. And he said, and I mean, damn, that's why I don't even see the value when debating the topic with most people on here, because I won't even be talking to you, I won't even be hearing your thoughts on the topic, I'm just, I'll just be hearing the thoughts of the last person you read, and even then, it probably wasn't even their thoughts. So, nigga, you're using a whole lot of words to say echo chamber, which I have my doubts that this one is too much of an echo chamber issue, Mr. Man. Like, unless you're really all right with that ill shit he did. Like, who is this guy? Like, let me click on his deal. Apparently, he's not, like, just some cat. Let's see. Yeah, it shows I follow his content. Yeah, he's followed by, he has a larger following than I do. Yeah, this nigga, he's basically, his following is double mine. So apparently he says some shit, and then let me see, mutuals. I don't know if that'll show on here. 98 mutuals. So I have 98 mutuals with this cat, and he's on my friends list, and I follow him. I don't know how. And he has double my following. So, apparently he says some shit that crosses over with what the hell I say. No, actually, I'm looking at his shit. No, that nigga's like triple my shit. So, obviously, we have some legitimate crossover if we're rocking 98 mutuals. But what is this? He continues with this one. Because still, using as many words as possible to say, to make the accusation of echo chamber. And he's saying, it's so much recycled and regurgitated posts in these circles that I've been losing my motivation to even discuss serious topics on Facebook anymore, because I can't even be sure that I'll be talking to somebody who actually believes they what they are arguing, opposed to somebody who is just arguing for the popular perspective because they know as long as they side with the groupthink model that they will always have backup. What? That they'll always have backup. And then, but what I'm reading on this nigga is being like a recreational contrarian is something that I've riffed about. I think about early to mid 2016. The recreational contrarian, where you're just like, you try to make yourself seem like you're thinking deeper, you're thinking harder, that you're being more nuanced by not agreeing with the group that you probably pander to. Like, you probably pander to get the following, and then once they're following you, you take a look at what a lot of them are saying, apparently 40 and counting, and then say, nah, the opposite. And why? Because, well, we'll see why. Let's see. He has one more short paragraph following this. This is why. Like, really, how many of y'all are actually happy he's dead? And how many of y'all have no idea who he is and genuinely don't care either way in your real life, but because it's a trending topic, you thought you'd add your repeated disdain to the conversation to show you're still on the side of all the other people pretending to disagree? Now, see, that's fake shit, because most people are commenting because they have an account in the privately owned social networks where they can comment on shit. And if they say the person's name and it's the trending thing, then it might hit a newsfeed or someone searches it. It might land in the search. See, this post is as if every single person is a content creator that is actually trying to build on something. Oh, a lot of people are just people. I don't know if he knew this, but the average person is average. Wilbert Cordell Kaiser Moore. This nigga is fake as shit. And there's Tis Loco posted up. I need to pronounce your name correctly. And Lionel Brown joined, posted up in a joint. Just doing a morning wine cellar riff. We'll do a full wine cellar episode in the evening, probably 4:30 or 5 p.m., depending on how getting home from work goes. Everyone know how that traffic will end up being. It's Wilbert Cordell Kaiser Moore. Yeah, it's generally a weird dude. Like, now I want to follow him more just to see what kind of bullshit he's on. Like, now I'm glad I didn't click unfollow. Yeah, I'll be watching that guy. Okay, and then you know what? Here he is, like, this is June 16th, 2 days ago. In all caps, Beyonce just released a new album featuring her husband, and I'm so full already. OMFG, yes, queen, and also Jay-Z, but OMG, yes, Beyonce, exclamation, 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 exclamation. So, in between these posts where he's fucking, he will wag his finger at you for not being as deep a thinker as him on the issue, he will also pander with the yas queen, yas Beyonce. Get the fuck out of here. This nigga's a lazy content creator. Fuck no, I'll put in more effort than that. I will never fucking oversimplify my shit like that for you folks. God damn it. And then Cree 7. Alright, I found this post interesting. Very slick, smooth, very, very good clickbait. I must tip my hat to Cree 7. Cree 7, C-R-E-E, and the word 7 spelled out from the number. And the C-R-E-E is Counter-Racist Evolving Engineer. I found Cree 7 when I was just looking for more black podcasts to listen to. And Cree's podcast came from a Blog Talk Radio broadcast with the RSS feed, right? Right. And I think I found Cree's, not just because I was looking for more black podcasts, but also because when I saw it, I saw that this individual had the most recent episode. When I found them, they were interviewing Junior Birchall. And I was like, I heard this guy. I've seen this guy's post before. This guy, like, he's fucking funny. Like, he's, like, his commentary has a good snark and bite to it. You know, so I'll check him out being interviewed on this program. And I was actually, I was on a show with Junior Birchall one time, I think it was, Leslie Mack's, program, when Leslie Mack and Ricky did the Ferguson Response Network program. We were on there with Phoenix Kaleeder, myself, and Junior Birchall. And Cree 7, after listening to more episodes than just that one, you find that Cree is, among this crowd that I call the children of Welsing, black people of whom I find to be rather conservative, but they are anti-white supremacy, right? Like Ben Carson's conservative, but pro-white supremacy, right? You know, who's that judge, Clarence Thomas, right? You know, he's conservative, but pro-white supremacy. These are black people that I find to be fairly conservative, but they're anti-white supremacy, and they're the children of Welsing, and that's Francis Cress Welsing, who has said things like, and Francis Cress, I mean, it's archived on the Context of White Supremacy podcast, Francis Cress Welsing saying these words out loud on purpose. Francis Cress Welsing argues that white people eat chocolate bars with peanuts in them because they wanted to symbolize consuming a black penis and testicles. This is the genius that they follow. You know, and a lot of people that I consider children of Welsing, Gus T. Renegade of the Cows program, Tariq Nasheed, children of Welsing, Cree is one. Neely Fuller and Welsing are like teammates. Welsing died, though, I think about 2 years ago. And, like, before election time cracked off. Yeah, but, yeah, there's, like, you can tell children of Welsing, like, just look for people saying race soldier when they're talking about racist white people. They're typically children of Welsing. If they say, like, part of their echo chamber talk is to say someone is a suspected white supremacist, like, they've got some vernacular. They typically say we need to get on code. is how you can come across children of Wellsing a lot. And Cree is definitely one of them. Now, in recent months, Cree seems to have been leaning more left a bit sociologically on some things. And has, like, some critiques of black men where I'm like, hey, you know what? I see what you're talking about. Like, you're starting to sound like some of my black feminist homies that I gets down with, right? And, but then sometimes Cree is just doing something that's just clickbait. So this is Cree's Obama social science. This posted 5 hours ago, so just before today was officially today. This is the quote. I think a very high percentage of black males who talk about how horrible President Obama was are just jealous that his wife was so fine. Haters. And I've used that term maybe 3 times in my entire life. And then I just looked and I was like, oh, she got him. This is a tacky ass post. No evidence, no science, no study conducted, no mention of any policies he supported or anything. The only argument that's presented in the comments section is Obama had to appease white supremacists because there was a gun to his wife and kids' heads. And it's like, I've been said way back in 2009 that this nigga's grimy as fuck for putting Michelle and Sasha and Malia on stage like that just because he wanted to be president so bad. That nigga's grimy for that. Doesn't mean I'm like, gosh darn it, he's with Michelle, I'm angry. Really, that's it? Like, no thought went into that. That's very slick, smart clickbait. Very good, very well done. Incredibly well done. And all these, so many black men, well over 70 comments now, are just in there, just really hurt and trying to make arguments. It's like, this is a child of Wellsing. Children of Wellsing don't try to make sense. You can't take them that serious. There's Stephen Steele. Click like on the video. Thank you. It's a little morning wine cellar. Let me see. Where do I want to go? And you know what? I'll throw a link in here. I'm going to copy link address. This is from a website called The Vulture. And this is going to be with the Facebook Live in the comments section. I'll put it in there right now. And it's that more information on this extinction level whack nigga rapper. Yeah, right. He's not a rapper. That's the episode title of the June 19th full podcast episode is Extinction was not a fucking rapper. All right. So over here, Huffington Post, the Fluffington Post, they came up in my sex workers' rights feed. And this was put up by Danielle Marins and Genevieve Hatch. And the title of this one is Most Democrats Don't Take Sex Workers' Rights Seriously. That's finally starting to change. And they argue in this article that 2 years into Donald Trump's presidency and most Democrats in Congress are embracing stances on healthcare, legal marijuanas, and minimum wage that would have been considered far outside the mainstream just 2 years ago. But when it comes to the rights of some of the most vulnerable members of society, voluntary sex workers. I don't know if that's... I don't think they put a lot of thought into that one. All right, voluntary sex workers. Elected Democrats still overwhelmingly side with the religious right and consistently fail to consult the people most affected by their policies. And remember, while heads like the little homie Nocturnus Libertus were making faux outrage posts about how Bernie Sanders voted for Sesta Fosta, but that's y'all revolutionary, and that was Nocturnus, you know, the little homie, I fucks with Nocturnus, but that was their whole thing, that faux outrage post. Well, Nocturnus did that, Phoenix Kaleeder actually went to D.C. And had a sit down and lobbied with Bernie Sanders staffers and left them with sex workers' rights information. You know, actually got up and fought for shit. You know. All right, and with Phoenix Cleater's disability, in great pain, went and did that shit. All right. this article continues, and this is a quote from Sean McElway. At the end of the day, Democrats still want to find an issue where they can be bipartisan.
Ooh. Excuse me.
And fucking over sex workers is a way they can be bipartisan. End quote from Sean McElway, a progressive activist and co-founder of the think tank Data for Progress. Now, article continues. Now, however, a small but growing group of progressive congressional candidates are heeding the outrage of their constituents and have turned against the laws that make it harder for sex workers to safely practice. At least three Democrats running in competitive House primaries are currently campaigning on their opposition to Sester Foster legalization. Okay, I want to get to their names. All right, so it says nearly every Democrat in Congress joined every Republican to pass it. Ron Wyden, a Democrat in Oregon, Ron Wyden and Rand Paul were the only senators to vote against the bill. Of course, Rand Paul, because, you know, sometimes he has to put on his libertarian face, you know. But effectively, the bill shut down websites that were the safest venues for sex workers to ply their trade. It also had sex workers were able to unionize via these websites. Now, Suraj Patel, who's running in New York's 12th congressional district, wrote in an op-ed, quote, "Sester Foster has rolled back internet freedoms and inflicted deep damage on already marginalized communities, putting lives at risk while setting the fight against trafficking back decades." All right, so I will actually go ahead and link this from the Fluffington Post, but maybe a useful article in the Facebook Live comment section. Have that. Take that, take that, take that. And let me take a look here. Because I was like, what the fuck is this? So, royal white people news. Queen McElizabeth II... whatever, makes woman who fought to decriminalize prostitution a dame. And dame is not in caps. I don't know, like, how in white people royalty, like, how high, how special is a dame? I don't know this. You know, I know there was, I know there was a rapper named Dame, and I thought he was pretty dope. I'm not talking about Dame Dash. He was not a rapper. He's a West Coast nigga. So, Queen Elizabeth II has honored an activist and former sex worker by awarding her the title of Dame. This individual's name is Catherine Healy, a 62-year-old individual, founder of the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective. Now, alright, because they're calling themselves prostitutes and it's not like, some swerf like Anita Sarkeesian calling them prostituted women. So that's NZPC. They call it the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective. And Catherine Healy, 62-year-old individual, was instrumental in helping her country become the first to decriminalize prostitution in 2003. After 30 years of activism, the Queen recognized her Monday as a Dame Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit, quote, "for services of the rights of sex workers," end quote. When Catherine Healy received the letter in the mail, she was astonished. This is a quote to the Washington Post from her. "I'm very touched. Looking at the different kinds of people who are put forward for these honors, in no way did I think I would ever be a recipient. I'm not sure what the Queen would be thinking about this, but certainly it's no secret that I have been a sex worker. And obviously my work is pushing for sex workers' rights," end quote. It's a spot on, what's that word called? Impression. Spot on impression. Great. Healy became a sex worker in the 1980s while employed as a teacher. She was initially looking to top off her income with an extra job as a receptionist at a massage parlor, but that ended up being a segue into sex work, she said. She remembers the massage parlor was so afraid of blowing its cover that it even feared keeping condoms in the place, condoms in case police found them. She remembers when police showed up posing as clients only to arrest the women and take down everyone's names. And she remembers how even if workers endured any form of sexual violence, they feared reporting it. On one occasion, Healy accompanied a friend who was a sex worker to the police station for moral support, a trip she would not soon forget. There were police databases for sex workers back then, Healy said, like the way the FBI keeps tabs on gang members today. So when Healy's friend reported that she had been raped, the officers didn't view her as a victim. They said, quote, "You're the only one who's broken the law. I could arrest you," end quote, from the policy overseers. Healy said the illegality and the stigma and the lack of sex worker protections all became profoundly irritating and upsetting, launching her to fight for reforms in Parliament. Her first major interaction with government was at the height of the HIV and AIDS epidemic. The government was seeking a partnership with the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective to promote protected sex. It was the first time, she said, that the government took any steps to legitimize the industry merely by recognizing it and partnering with it through funding. But, she said, quote, we didn't want to be a condom vending machine, end quote. She continues, we wanted to maintain our beating heart, which is ensuring sex workers have rights, end quote. It was an uphill battle, as she knew it would be. Lawmakers who were morally against the decriminalization of prostitution feared that legitimizing it would lead to an explosion of sex workers in brothels nationwide, as well as a rise in underage sex workers. But supporters viewed it as an opportunity to ensure that sex workers were afforded basic human rights as well as occupational health and safety guidelines. In 2003, the Prostitution Reform Act passed by a single vote in the 5 years at, so 51%. So 5 years after its passing, the Prostitution Law Review Committee evaluated the law's effect and concluded that it had a marketed effect safeguarding the right of sex workers to refuse particular clients and practices, chiefly by empowering sex workers, through removing illegality of their work. All right. Let me go ahead and pop this article from the Washington Post into the Facebook Live. And this Facebook Live, folks that are listening to the podcast audio, you can find it on William J. Jackson on the Facebooks, or it's facebook.com/winecellarmedia or let me make sure I know exactly what that is. I should check and make sure I know what my link is. Okay, it's facebook.com/winecellarpodcast, and that's how you get to my my personal page. And that live is there with those links to those articles. Morning Wine Cellar. Whoa, okay, my alarm clock to get ready to go to work is going off. Hear that? That's my alarm clock saying get ready to go to work, fucker, so I gotta get ready to go to the factory. Yeah, it's 4 a.m. now, Central Standard Time. All right, fuckos, have a good one. PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund, Facebook Live ended, and podcast audio